And now, live from Sacramento, California, Sports Talk 916 presents Greg Bohl, Eddie Cook, and Greg Verrosa.
A little long.
This is a little long with a lot of us just waiting. We might need to shorten that down and not have you do the intro. Anyways, this is our...
jam.
It's good jam, but it's like... You said you didn't want a 20-minute intro.
Dude, I didn't want a two-minute
This is like the Freebirds guitar solo, if there is one. I don't know. It's just a song I picked out. Anyways, this is our live test broadcast.
Go ahead, Eddie. You're in charge. You could run it.
Well, you're running your intro. It's still going.
Don't judge me.
It's still going. We are testing
now, girls. Come on.
We are testing things out a little bit differently this season. This will be season three. Season three, three hosts, and Eddie's going to be the front runner, the captain, if you will.
At least for tonight.
For tonight. So Eddie, go ahead and
15-minute show. Thanks. Here you go, guys. Hey, you guys can be captain for 15 minutes. First thing I'd like to do is let's introduce Coach Greg Verrosa. Greg, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks, guys, man. I appreciate it.
If you guys don't already know, Greg's been around for some time, kind of behind the scenes. He's been our sponsor for the past couple of years. Greg and I, we really appreciate that.
We like to call him the bankroll.
Yes.
The piggy bank roll is what I've been.
He's more like a roll of quarters.
Hey, you know what? Without, you know, Coach over here, you know, we can have the show that, you know, we have so many people listening to. So this is a culmination.
So all
of that.
Three people, thank you.
And I want to go ahead and just give another thing. Without Greg, I think Howard would still be around. So that's a plus.
Nah.
Bro, that's not funny, bro.
Dude, the show hasn't been on like, you know, 10 seconds and we already said Howard three times.
Oh, you know, we ought to have a Howard jar. We need to have a Howard jar in the middle. Every time you say his name,
you gotta put a quarter in. And then at the end of a week or at the end of an episode, because it might be that good.
Whoever said Howard the least amount of times gets to take the bankroll home.
That's what I'm talking about. And we should be able to hear it too.
Exactly.
Each time.
Every little thing, every time you drop a quarter, bro. Bro.
That's what we need in a soundboard, right?
That'd be awesome. But anyways, if you're listening, there's one thing that you're gonna notice right off the bat, besides the third voice. Is the quality of the voices. We decided to do things right this time. We're not huddled around a little mic.
We got big boy mics now with like screens in the front of them and everything.
Right, we can't even see our mics because, well,
Eddie can.
Hey man, size does not matter, okay? It's all about quality. We're good, right. It works.
I mean, you know, we can take this show on the road. We can actually set up and have a decent recording in live, you know, capacities now.
Dude, there's so many wires on this table. I'd be afraid to take it out of
Well,
the
I'm going
to
get like zip ties and bungee cords and such to clean this up a little bit. This is, I mean, it's our test setup. I mean, it's different, but it feels right. It feels good.
I'm excited. This is going to be cool. I'm excited about this.
You know, I think it's great that Greg adds like a great third like completely different perspective of things.
Yeah, you can say it. I'm old. No. So I have the older perspective. I have the older generation perspective.
Vintage.
There you go. Get off my lawn, damn it.
So if you're listening right now, we are currently on Mixlr, mixlr.com/sportstalk916. If you're listening, you would know that because that's how you found us. And we're going to try to use this as our live avenue during our recordings for our iTunes podcast that you'll be able to find on our website at sportstalk916.com, as well as itunes.com/sportstalk916. And I think this would be kind of cool because there's a chat box. We're going to eventually work in the option to take live phone calls. We may work in just our regular chat box from our website again instead of just using the Mixlr one. But it's going to allow some interaction. It just won't be the three of us. And if, you know, one of us says something... So who's on Mixlr?
Oh, I am. I guess I better get off of that, huh?
There's
a delay.
That vintage retrospect I'm looking for right there.
My first rookie mistake right there.
It's so nice Greg wanted to hear it twice. I think it's going to be cool. We're going to be obviously NorCal heavy. It's in the name. Sports Talk 916. 916 obviously being the area code for Sacramento. We're going to talk a lot of Kings. We're going to talk a lot of Giants, a lot of A's, 49ers, Raiders.
Wow, we have to talk Raiders?
Well, you got to remember, it's 2-on-1 now. When we started with Howard, it was 2-on-1 the opposite way.
But see, the thing about it is, Chief is a hater.
No.
Yes.
No. I wanted the Raiders to do good last season. There's video or there's vocal evidence of that. In fact, I predicted, if I remember right, before the season started, that the Raiders would have a better record than the Niners implosion with all the off the field crap that happened last year.
I think he said the Niners wouldn't get
10 wins.
10 wins.
Did we?
No, I don't think so.
Did the Niners finish under 10 wins last season?
I don't know. What, how about one of us with a laptop check those facts right there? The interesting thing about it, you know, is that now that we have, you know, three people and it's all live, it's going to be a lot less dead air. You know,
yeah.
I think that was a big thing. If you listen to a lot of old shows that we did, it was like, oh, and you heard
a lot of ums. There's a lot of stuff going on.
You know, because primarily just based on the equipment we had. But now, I mean, we're at that next level.
I'm a genius. The Niners were 8-8 last year.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, so
that's so bad. That's Hugh Jackson Raider bad, dude.
No, Raider bad is 3-13, like you guys did last year.
And the year before.
And the year before.
No.
And the year before.
4 years ago, it was 8-8.
10 years ago. No, 12 years ago, you were in the Super Bowl.
Hey, one thing real quick. Don't tell Eddie. Between me and you.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the Tuck rule. On these broadcasts.
Oh, okay. No Tuck rule.
That's not a motherfucking rule anymore, fool. That was a. Don't get me started on the Tuck rule.
If you talk about John Gruden, you have to refer to him as the visor.
The visor, right. Not Chucky.
No, not Chucky. Bill Callahan is not a friendly name either, and I don't think we're allowed to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers either. So there's a couple ground rules.
We have okay, I'll have Bucks. To. Do you have the manual? Can I take the manual home tonight?
Right. It's a playbook.
I need the playbook so I know what to talk about, what not to talk about. Because the last thing I want to see is Eddie on the floor crying and in the fetal position.
And just dropping quarters and the thing. I miss Howard, bro.
I'm not excited for this right now. I'm feeling very.
How you feeling, Eddie?
I'm feeling very alienated right now, guys.
It'll be fun. We're also going to cover San Jose Sharks. They have a big game coming up this weekend. The Stadium Series is coming. They're going to be playing the LA Kings at Levi Stadium.
That's right.
I feel about that. It's going to be like 85 degrees in Levi Stadium. They're going to be swimming.
It's going to be funny, though. Yeah, it's going to be a pool. It's going to break out into a swim meet. I'm there.
Coach Feroza is ready
to go.
What else are we going to cover? We're going to cover the second season of the Sacramento Republic, the defending USL Pro Champions. We are going to cover the first season of the Sacramento Rivercats being affiliated with the world champion San Francisco Giants, which
nice.
Is going to be a lot of fun.
Three-time nice. World championship.
That's right.
Three times in, yeah.
Five years.
I like that.
But
that's a great stat.
We call that a dynasty, baby.
Unless you're talking to an A's fan, and then they're like, nah, that's not a dynasty.
Are you an A's fan?
I'm not an A's fan.
He's
I'm a Giants
transplant
fan.
Okay. A's fan.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened. So I am a Raider, and I was a Raider and A's fan simultaneously. However, all year long, I was just depressed. Billy Bean is absolutely horrible. Before the movie Moneyball came around, I knew about Moneyball and what was happening. I read the book, one of the few books I've read. Was Moneyball.
That and porn.
That's not a book. Pictures.
There's words.
It shows how much I pay attention.
Believe it or not, there are words.
Hey, back in the day, the Penthouse Forum, you read that. That was all words, but it did the same thing as video.
Yeah, and
does.
Let me tell you, a bus full of topless chicks never showed up next to me on the highway.
You know, me neither.
Is that what was on the forum?
Oh, it was all kinds of... This is a sports show, not a porn show.
Okay, so anyways.
This is a
so
sports
back...
show and other.
Okay, well, again, the Fort... No.
So,
we'll go into that later.
So he
that'll be off
so
here.
Here's what happened. So I was super depressed all year long because I was a Raider and also an A's fan. And at the time, my wife and I had been together, you know, 10, 12 years. And the thing about it was is that she's a Giants fan. And every year we'd go watch the Giants A's play in Oakland because it's cheaper. And every year, no matter how bad the Giants were, they always beat the A's. I have pictures of me at these games, and I'm just this depressed fan, and she's always excited and good to go.
And then we would make sure to go to Giants A's games, and, you know, we go when Timmy would do like nine inning shutouts.
Yeah.
And
Tim Lincecum comes out, right? And he comes out, oh, yeah, in the ninth inning. And I think it's going to be great because his young kid, Vin Mazzaro, is pitching for the A's, and I think he's going to be fantastic. So we go to this game. Timmy comes out in the ninth inning and throws a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm like, are you kidding me? Can this guy get done? I was like, all we got to do is get to the pin. All we got to do is get to the pin.
I thought he was going to drive us into the bay.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
It was depressing. So what happened is that my best friend was a Giants fan. My wife was a Giants fan. And I was running out of A's fans to hang with. And I had to make a conscious decision.
That's because all A's fans are delusional.
You know, I also think it had something to do with the wife. She'll claim that she sexted me into becoming a Giants fan.
To be fair, the best friend also sexted him into becoming a Giants fan.
Yeah, but...
So you sexted him?
After the wife.
Yeah, I got the sloppy seconds.
Nice.
But the Giants needed me because I became a fan in 2009. Happened to also be the year they won the World Series. Now,
no, they won 2010. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, you started in 2010. No. So the 2009 season ended. In that summer, after the season ended, he declared, you know what? Okay. I'm done. I'm a Giants fan.
That was the Vin Mazzaro game. I was like, I can't even watch the A's anymore. They're horrible.
We made a point that year. We watched nearly, like, I'd say we watched like half the regular season game. And we watched every single playoff game, and they made the run. And when they won that World Series game, people were giving Eddie so much shit for being a flip-flop fan.
Oh, yeah.
And to be fair, he did still get shit.
Bandwagon.
Dude, see,
it's
no.
Not, dude's got no, the no, ticket no. To the bandwagon.
It's not, though, because he did start before spring training even throughout the first game.
Okay, I remember Fred Lewis. Okay, I remember Fred Lewis, you know.
Okay, so you might not be on the bandwagon, but you were hitching up the horses.
I definitely was hitching up the horses, you know. And
he was the fluffer of the horses.
It was just kind of icing on the cake that they happened to win. And it was, I mean, talk about baseball. Now, people ask me, oh, you should do the same thing for the Niners.
No, don't.
We're in a bad time right now.
Don't.
See, it's a bad time. Good time to be a Raider fan. It's been like...
I don't know if I go that far.
Yeah, is there really ever a good time to be a Raider fan?
It's a good time to be like a Seahawks fan, a Patriots fan.
It's never a good time to be a Patriots fan.
And it's never a good time to be a Seahawks fan. And as a Niner fan, you need to wash your mouth out with soap.
Well, I'm just saying, if you had to pick a team, I don't think you're going to pick a Bay Area team right now.
I mean,
maybe the LA Rams will be a good team to root for.
Yeah?
No, the Rams are horrible.
Yeah, but when they move to LA, they're going to still be horrible. But you know what? Let's. I put it out on Twitter that we're going to do some Kings talk.
Cool.
And we haven't done that yet. So let's jump into a few things. Greg and I are both season ticket holders.
It'll be interesting.
Greg, how long have you been a season ticket holder for the Kings?
12 years, I think.
I'm in my second.
Wait, so did you buy season tickets after 2002?
That's
bandwagon status.
No.
That's
when he was on the way. I am a Kings fan from day two.
Day two. Okay.
Day one, he wasn't sure.
So no. Here, let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened. So, because you guys are kind of young. So, let me give you the more vintage retrospect here.
I love it.
So, when they finally announced that the Kings were going to move from Kansas City to Sacramento in 84, I believe.
Yep.
I was just born.
Okay. I was in my dad's nuts.
I was drunk.
Twice.
I was drunk. So the Kansas City Kings were on a road trip, and they played in Oakland, played the Warriors, and they had 3 or 4 days off after their last game with Oakland. So they came up here, and they had two practices at American River College in a dumpy old gym. It was about 110 degrees, and the place was absolutely packed. So we didn't go to the first one, but I went to the second practice. So I always say that I'm a Kings fan from day two, and became a Kings fan all the way through. And then in 2001 or 2002, I got on the waiting list to be a Kings season ticket holder.
Okay, so that was probably after they started doing well.
No, they started doing well in 2000.
They had already started doing well. 2000. But I didn't have, I mean.
But it was 2002 was the year that should have happened that didn't.
Yeah, I wasn't financially ready to buy tickets in. So
are we going
to
talk about bad calls here? Because we brought up the Tuck rule earlier.
No, it wasn't bad calls. A shitty ref. But
yeah, it was a paid off ref.
He was betting on the game. That's totally different than the Tuck rule. The Tuck rule at the time was a rule.
Yeah. Stupid rule.
But anyway, so you.
I've been around forever. So I've seen bad, good, bad, bad, good.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's good. I got
you. So I actually remember the first where I was watching the first game they beat Boston the first year they were here.
They beat Bird.
They beat Bird, and that started their first playoff run.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been from day one.
Yeah, I the earliest I remember was 95-ish. It was the Mitch Richmond All-Star year, and that's when I got NBA Live 95, which is actually in that second drawer right over there on Sega,
nice.
Which is pretty awesome. And Mitch Richmond was on the cover of that game, which was cool. And then my second ever home game I got to go to was game three of the 96 playoffs, the Rattle Seattle series.
Oh, nice.
When there was like that 10-minute standing ovation. Oh, and yeah. It was absolutely raucous. I could have sworn my ears were going to bleed.
Oh, yeah.
And, but yeah, so I bought into season tickets last season with everything with Crown Downtown, everything. I kind of felt
trendy.
Trendy, the right thing to do, obligated, whatever you want to call it. Things seemed good. The vet came in, everything was good, got a new coach, Coach Malone. Fast forward, what was it, 18 games into the season this year?
Everything was not good. You guys...
Everything was going in the right direction.
You guys didn't even get to 28 wins with the new coach.
That was last year.
They hit 28 wins.
Yeah, they got to 28.
Made a couple moves. Yeah, remember, it was quest for 28. We tied it.
I don't think so.
It was a quest for 29.
Did they win 28?
Yeah. And it was 28. And, you know, things were looking good. Offseason, made a couple moves. Drafted a good player out of Michigan. Re-signed Rudy Gay. Yeah, he was a good player at Michigan.
Okay.
Re-signed Rudy Gay. DeMarcus was, you know, on the summer in the Olympics. Everything was looking good. Started out on fire. DeMarcus gets viral meningitis. Lose a couple games. Coach Malone gets fired.
Vivek hits the panic button.
Vivek broke the panic button.
What happened? So I heard that there was a lot of uncertainty in the Kings locker room, like Vivek and Malone not getting along.
Vivek and Malone got along fine. The rumor was it was Pete D'Alessandro, the GM, and Malone that didn't get along, because Vivek hired Malone before he hired his GM, which is like the cardinal sin of any kind of sports when you have a general manager.
That was weird.
You let your GM hire his staff. He didn't do that. So there was rumor that Vivek and Malone didn't get along, and there was strife in the locker room. I still wholeheartedly believe that the firing of Malone was ready to be immediately precipitated with a hiring of George Karl. I think that was Pete's plan. I think Karl reached out to him. He wanted him to hire him, and Vivek stopped in and blocked it.
So do you think Vivek was... Because the other rumor was that Chris Mullin was going to be the coach.
Vivek wanted Mullin to coach, and then Mullin said no.
Right.
And then they appointed Ty Corbin, and they stepped all over their own toes and coattails trying to explain that Corbin was going to be the coach for the rest of the season when everyone knew deep down that he wasn't going to be.
I got a question about that firing. Why would you fire a coach mid-December? I mean, if your coach is going to be bad and you have other coaches lined up, where's the rationality behind firing somebody before the All-Star break?
Well,
I was just going to say, the funny thing is, nobody's given the rationale. There's been nothing.
Who makes the call? Pete DeLisandro?
So Pete took the fall for it. Whether it was his decision or not, he took the fall for it. I believe that the rationale behind it was, we want to hire a better coach. We want Karl, you know, put his name in the hat. He said he's interested. When you get a coach like him who wants a coach, you hire that coach. I think Vivek got excited. He got a little power hungry, and he wanted to wait a little bit. There was no pressure that Karl wasn't going anywhere else. There was no other vacancies. There's a long way to the offseason. They were fine to wait. And the media outcry, the players obviously lashed out. DeMarcus Cousins was extremely upset about it. Obviously, Rudy Gay's impacted by it. He's playing like garbage. The whole demeanor is different. And the fans got behind it, too. And it got to the point, if Ty Corbin would have won games, I don't think George Karl's hired right now. But Corbin couldn't get those guys to play. He couldn't do anything.
But that's a horrible analogy. That's like saying, you know, if Malone won games, I mean, Corbin wouldn't be
coach.
Well,
no. The thing is that Corbin never should have been put in that situation. Like, he got put in a bad spot. But I think that had he won games, then he would have been allowed to iron out the rest of the season like he said he was going to be.
Was he the best guy for the job in the Kings organization?
No, he was the only guy for the job.
Only guy.
I mean, he was the only one, I think. He had NBA coaching experience. He coached in Denver for, I think he replaced George Karl in Denver. I'm not sure about that, but I think.
No, he wasn't in Denver. He was in Utah.
Oh, he was in Utah. Okay.
He replaced Jerry Sloan in Utah.
Yeah, that's it. And so he had NBA coaching experience. Okay. The funny thing is, I don't think there wasn't a plan. And the reason I know there wasn't a plan is we all heard that interview on Carmichael Dave's show in the morning when Pete D'Alessandro came on. three or four days for, you know, everybody was excited about hearing it. We're going to hear what's going on. And it was just talking in circles. So my thought is,
it was PR spin.
It was PR spin that was just horrible. And I think they're trying to cover for Vivek, who just, I think it was a knee jerk reaction. He saw his opportunity because they weren't playing well with DeMarcus being out, being sick. And it was an easy time to pull the ripcord.
And I honestly think that had DeMarcus stayed healthy and they continued to play the way they were, he wouldn't have been able to make that move.
Right.
To me, the first thing it reminded me of was Alex Smith losing his job to Colin Kaepernick because of injury. It was the wrong thing to do at the time, but it was the perfect excuse for Harbaugh to get his agenda of Kaepernick into place. And I think that's what it was. I think Vivek was just ready to make a change, and he needed something to allow him to do that. And then DeMarcus getting sick at the time.
But the only problem with that analogy is it worked for the 49ers.
Kind of.
Well, they won some games. They made the playoffs.
Kinda. Twice.
They made the playoffs. They kinda. Made the NFC championship game.
Twice.
Yeah, it worked. Now, it might have been a short situation, but it worked.
Right.
And so I think at the time, this didn't work. There was nothing about this move that was positive. And I think the negative energy that the fans generated filtered down to the players. As much as they all say they don't listen to radio, they don't read the newspapers, you could go into the game
and feel
be
it.
In the arena and feel that it was a joke. People were just waiting for the team to implode every night.
Third quarter.
And they did. So I feel sorry for Pete a little bit because he had to take the fall. I don't think it was his fault, but I also, there's got to be some blame there because he's the one that he's supposed to be calling the shots, not the owner.
If you're going to put your neck out there and say it was my decision to do it, then I'm sorry, you're going to take all the heat for it.
Yeah.
And I've met Pete. He's a great guy. I've had awesome conversations with him up in Reno. I've talked to him down after games here. He knows what he's doing. I don't think that he would have made a call like that just out of the blue like he did.
Well, you could tell that he didn't make that call because he didn't know how to answer the questions on why they were fired. It was about wins and losses. It was because they weren't playing well. Well, they didn't have DeMarcus. So yeah, they weren't playing well. That's why we fired Malone, because they weren't playing well.
So
you have to play well with your best man not there.
So here's my question. So when Coach Carl comes here and he sits down and he says, okay, we're going to take this exact same lineup that did so well in the beginning of the year. You know, Cousins got viral meningitis. He was out. The whole thing happened, spun out of control and everything like that. Do you think that with the lineup that is set exactly what it is, how shallow their bench is, because the players are doing statistically better than last season, even how bad they're playing, they're still playing statistically better. DeMarcus Cousins, even Rudy Gay, who everybody's like, oh, he's kind of having an off season, still playing better than he was playing last year. So how does he come in and instantly make a change without a personnel change?
It's his style of offense. It's his style of play. If you go back and look at Utah, Tyrone Corbin knows one thing on offense, and that's feed the center. He knows nothing else. I mean, he had Al Jefferson, and he had Al Jefferson when he was in Utah. That offense was eccentric on give him the ball. When they triple teamed him, they flipped the ball out. They had arguably a little bit better shooters. They had Gordon Hayward and they had a few other guys, but there's no difference to it. And when DeMarcus wasn't in the games, the only thing he knew how to draw up, Rudy Gay isolation plays. Four flat, four flat, four flat, four flat, four flat. That's all they drew up. So with George Karl's offense, it's very fast tempo. It's going to be up and down the court. And the ball movement's going to be there. So you're going to see McLemore getting better shots. You're going to see Stauskas hopefully getting open shots. McCallum's going to have a chance to work with the ball better. DeMarcus is still going to get his touches. He's still going to dominate. You can't shy away from that. But at the same time, you're going to see Rudy Gay bounce back because he's actually going to have the ball in his hands where it's not just an isolated play. Everyone knows what he's going to do. It's going to be just a different style, and it's going to work a lot better. And I think the players are going to buy into it.
But those guys can't play all the quarters of basketball. I mean, the bench is so weak. It is so weak.
But the bench is, in an offense like that where the ball's constantly moving and it's, I think our bench is very, very weak on individual play. But if you look back in the beginning of the season, our bench was playing out of their mind because the ball was moving and the ball was getting around. There was not one person set up that said, Derek Williams, go take over the game. You're in the game. That just can't happen.
Yeah, I was listening this morning to somebody, and they were trying to describe George Karl's strengths as a coach. And what they said is he's not an offensive-minded coach. He stresses defense, and what he does, he rewards you for playing good defense by being a little bit more free-wielding at the offensive and at the offensive end and being able to play more up-tempo and fun. So they're going to stress defense. They're going to reward those guys and allow them to play good wide open offense at the other end, which I think is going to benefit our bench because they're a little bit more wide open and you can hide some of those. You don't need the strength going for the boards if you're wide open and you're making that extra pass.
And you got to remember, our bench really isn't that terrible.
No.
Carl Landry is having a great year. Ryan Hollins can play very good defense, and I think he's going to get a lot of minutes with Carl. Reggie Evans is a player. You know, Caspi's playing and having a great year. Sessions needs to just get the hell out of town. Ray McCallum has the ability to do a lot of things. And like you said, you're going to see a lot of things come through where those players are going to know that they have a chance to be a part of the offense.
Only if we had IT. We need IT. If we had IT, we'd be... No, I'm just kidding.
But
Stupid takes.
And that's the thing. It's those guys right now, when the ball comes down the court, especially with Tyron Corbin... You look at them, they just stand there. They move around a little bit, and they know the ball's going to DeMarcus, and the only time they're going to get the ball is if DeMarcus is doubled or tripled or gets it in a bad spot.
Part of the reason is because when they come down the court, DeMarcus has the ball.
And that's going to change, too. I don't think that's going to be, you know, I mean, but that's all part of the mentality. It's DeMarcus is the eccentric piece because Corbin can't do anything about it. So I love the George Karl hire. I've been asking for it since day one. I think it's going to be great. They signed him to a 4-year, $15 million deal. He takes over February 20th. At home against Boston, and he has a couple games after the All-Star break to practice a little bit. You know, he has a couple days of practice, and I don't necessarily. I mean, there's people on Facebook right now that's saying, "Oh, we're going to the playoffs. We're going to the playoffs."
No,
they realize
we're
that
not
they have,
going to the playoffs.
That they have to win 30 of their 32 remaining games to hit 48 wins. And last season, the Suns with 48 wins didn't make the playoffs, and the West is better this year.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
There's no chance
There's
in
no
hell.
Way.
Are they going to get 28 wins?
Yeah, they'll win 10 games.
They'll win 10 more games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll win 10 more games. And then next season, I mean, there's a lot coming off the books. I will say this. He takes over February 20th. Not only are we going to see a new coach on the floor, but we're going to see new players on the floor. There's going to be a trade made.
Think so?
Something's going to happen.
When's the deadline?
The 19th.
Trade DeMarcus.
That's not going to happen.
No, that's not. Why would
you
do
that? You were just on board with trading DeMarcus for shooters the other day.
I said if you
have... Oh, let's get two or three shooters for DeMarcus.
If he's not going to play and he's not going to buy into the system and you have to trade him, now's the time to trade him.
Here's the deal.
But you don't just trade him just to trade him right now.
What if he demands a trade in like a year when the Kings aren't any better than they currently are?
Then you get value for him and you trade him. I mean,
well, here's the thing. If they're not any better than they are right now, then
he deserves to play somewhere else. Like,
he
honestly
deserves to play, and you throw Carl out the window too, because he's coming in to make them better. His history is coming in three or four times midseason.
He's coming in twice as
and
the third coach.
And replacing that the coaches that were in there before, taking that team, tweaking them up, and making them play better. Now, I'm actually all right if they lose some games because we have the protected first-round draft pick.
That's another thing about Corbin being left on as long as he did.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to make sure that the Bulls don't get our top 10 pick.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing for you, Bulls fan. Although, there is rumor right now that Taj Gibson is available at the power forward spot. And one of the ways that the Kings can possibly make a deal for Taj Gibson would be to remove the protection on that pick.
Oh.
I don't know, though, if Taj Gibson is worth a first-round draft pick.
No,
I don't think so either.
But he would be a really good compliment to DeMarcus Cousins down low. And that might mean that Jason Thompson or Derek Williams is out of town.
Jason Thompson.
Right. Anyways, guys, Worst it's been King. 30 minutes.
Has it really?
We're going to be able to talk a lot. It's going to be cool. We may have
We're going to limit the shows to an hour.
Hour 20, hour 15.
Hour 20?
You can leave at the hour mark and we'll keep going.
I don't know. Really?
Oh.
No, we'll figure
things out.
You can leave
bike.
And then we can start really talking shit about the Raiders.
No, we'll figure things out as we go. I think the flow of the show is going to be really well. I think we're going to have a lot of good insight, a lot of good quality, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for letting me come on board, guys. I really appreciate it. I think it's going
to
be cool.
And at one point, guys, we had 4 people listening to our impromptu
show.
Shut
up. For what it was. Okay, Anissa, my wife, Sheena, your wife, Chris Solis.
Is he?
I don't know. And Darren had to be the 4. Had to be the 4.
I don't know. But here's the thing. It's an impromptu show. You know, who cares?
And I'm single, so I didn't have anybody that could listen. So
that's right, ladies. If you would like Coach Rosa, please dial.
No, but if you need to buy a house or know anybody looking to buy a house, call me.
Or if you want to get wet in a swimming pool, call him.
That was horrible. You see what I got to work with? You see what I got
to
work with?
Wait. I thought you were supposed to be in charge of this.
I thought I was. See, Chief has this severe problem of letting go.
It's going to take some time.
As you can see, he's got his own table and everything.
I know. He's got his own table. He's got the mixer.
The board. I told him he's got too much going on.
Do you want your own table?
No.
This is $13 or $23.
I'm fine with right where I'm at. I don't want to be in charge. I'm good with
the Morgan Reagan status.
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, not Morgan Raymond.
No, I am sure that if Morgan Freeman was in here right now, that motherfucker would take charge.
Morgan Freeman would be like, take your daughter to the aquarium on a Tuesday.
He'd be like, DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins.
We're terrible at Morgan Freeman talk.
I can't do more.
Frank Caliendo is not happening right here, is he? All right,
guys. And just so if anyone else is still listening of the 3 people, DeMarcus Cousins is on Jimmy Fallon tonight in about 45 minutes.
Sweet.
Which should be entertaining.
I hope he raps with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. I hope they do one of their skits. I don't care what skit it is. I hope they do something. But so for future, Mixler is going to be our go-to live show. We're going to update and put on podcasts via iTunes. We're going to be all over Twitter, Facebook. Eddie's going to be on YouTube doing his own thing as well. We'll definitely link to that. And we will. Our first official show will be Sunday evening at 8-ish.
Chief, turn your gain down just a little bit. Just a little.
I already did. It's all the way down.
Turn the actual volume of your thing down a little bit. Now talk about DeMarcus Cousins. Get all fired up. Be like, oh, check this out. Are the Kings going to win 25 games this season?
They'll definitely win 25 games this season.
No, you need to get fired up like you were earlier.
Why do I need to get fired up?
Thank you. Because your microphone was popping.
I hate the Raiders. Or the Niners.
What?
Right now. I hate the Niners. it's habit.
I know you hate the Raiders.
I don't like the game on that. I can't hear you as
Here,
well.
Here, try this. Whoop. Is that better?
Can you hear me now?
It's still not as good.
Here, let me turn my gain back up and I'll turn my master volume down. How about that?
That's better.
And I'll turn this down.
Is that
a
too loud?
Bit.
Okay, hang on a second. Still popping.
Who's
Anissa? You're still popping.
Oh,
I sounded like I felt like I was popping earlier.
She says that the sound's popping. Is this being recorded too?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put it up on our podcast, and then that way we can just hear it, because then we'll know. Still popping.
Yeah, I'll have to adjust like my highs and lows and stuff, and see.
We'll take care of it. I think maybe it's the highs.
My highs are up. Let's see.
Does Greg pop, Anissa? Coach Rosa. Wait. See, I think there's like a 30-second delay.
I think there is.
There's about a 30-second delay. Anissa, how does that sound?
I think... Let me turn all these straight up and then just work at it from there. Put them all just to neutral.
That's how it was before when we dialed it in before. How's that sound? Has she given any feedback? Anissa, I'm talking directly to you.
All right, Coach, you talk.
Hey, Anissa, how you doing?
Oh, look how smooth he is right there. I love it. He's so smooth.
Want to jump in Greg's swimming pool?
Dude.
Really, what is wrong with you?
See what I got to work with?
You know? Golly.
This guy's professional.
I think he just needs to be the host, intros and outros, and you and I will talk.
So, Chris Solis said there was some interference when I was talking.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, I told you the third person was Chris Solis. My nigga. Oh, can I say that?
You're black, right?
No, Coach is black.
Yeah. I'm a 53-year-old black child from St. Helena, California.
You're from St. Helena?
Yeah.
Really? My dad's from St. Helena.
Shut up.
Yeah, like my whole family is buried in St. Helena. We should go there and you should drink wine and I'll hang out.
What's your dad's name?
Cook. Tom Cook? I don't know.
Do you have an uncle named Jim?
I do.
Jim was like a year behind me in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah. Well, let's see. Actually, we may be similar friends on Facebook.
Am I still popping?
Hey, man, you're interrupting our bonding moment here. We're bonding.
This is like farmersonly.com right now. Swimmersonly.com. new website, dating website, swimmersonly.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Divers only?
No, swimmers. Diving's not a sport.
I have my nose pressed into my pop filter. Does that help at all?
All right. I think that Greg has actually hit the wall.
I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. I'm getting there. But
if you had the view I had right now, you'd be all really, really scared because...
I need to know if I'm still popping or not.
So evidently, it's when multiple people talk, the whole thing pops. So try to turn the level down in GarageBand.
Because it's not in GarageBand right now. It's the level that's on Mixler I can bring down. So if I bring it down like that.
Is that better?
And then we'll all talk over it. Yeah, we'll talk like this. Like, it's all popping in. Let's all keep talking.
Yeah.
Great radio.
Yeah, radio. Fantastic. Oh, hang on. Here we go. It's coming through right now.
30 seconds and go.
Yeah, and go. Let's see here. That made Chief's volume good, whatever he did. Oh, good. So she must be getting to the part where we're like,
This is a professional podcast right here.
It is professional, but see, it's good because
when you saw a picture of it, it looked professional. Should I hang some curtains around? I think that's the issue. When I talk over my pop filter,
I can't hear you at all.
Dude, you need to be
you're
up.
You're not coming through at all.
Am I coming through now?
That's what she said.
I don't want you coming anywhere. Yeah, maybe you need that thing, the thing that goes behind your mic.
I may buy that thing. There's a little screen that I can buy that sits right back here.
You got to talk closer. I just don't think you're.
That's because I turned my.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. She just heard it. So, Eddie and Greg V need to be louder. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. See, it's difficult. But the popping is still there. Maybe just something with Mixler. We'll have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and close it. It's cool. We'll figure it out.
Am I better now?
I love that look. You could just talk like that for 2 hours. We'll do the show all day. Fuck it. I don't care.
3 hour podcast. All right. We're going to go off the air on Mixler.
Peace out, yo.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I think we're already gone.
No, we just ended. You are now off the air. All right, let's...
That was good.